Well, we would sure appreciate your prayers. I'm not the best writer, but anyway, it's supposed to say the grace of God hath appeared. You know, this morning, the thing that I like, one of the things I like best about the gospel is that I know it's true. I know that Jesus Christ died for us. And I know He shed blood for us. And I know there's power in the blood to deliver from sin. There's power in the blood to make us whole. There's power in the blood to heal our bodies. There's power in the blood to heal our emotional needs. All those things is in the Lord. I know that. I don't doubt that. So we thank the Lord this morning. We want to look a little bit into Titus 2. And 11 and 12, we'd like the Lord to visit us this morning a little bit. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Those are blessed words, aren't they? The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Thank the Lord for that this morning. When you look at that word, when you look at the little two words, hath appeared, in Greek it means to shine upon. That is, become visible or known, figuratively known. Do you know this morning that the grace of God wants to shine? No, the grace of God is shining. Did you know that this morning? The grace of God, the light of God, the sun has come up, folks, and it's shining today. And it's shining upon all men. Maybe a little bit of a metaphor even from the sun that comes up in the morning. And it shines upon all men. It shines upon the wicked. It shines upon the just. It shines upon every nationality and every nation and every language. In one day, it shines on everyone, doesn't it? And you know what? This morning, the grace of God has appeared. It has risen. It is shining today. And it is giving light and grace to every man that will step out in the light this morning. You know, the same words, the same word or whatever is used in Luke 1 and 78, 79. Listen to this. It says, "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Don't you love the descriptive language of the Scriptures? These writers were men and women that were people who loved the grace of God. These people had fallen in love with the Lord, and what else could they do but write in descriptive language? That's what you do to someone or about someone you really are infatuated with, if you want to say that. "The tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high, Jesus Christ has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness." That same word, to give light, is what it says over here where we read, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to give light." Same thing. You know, this morning, says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Clark says to that verse, he says, literally translated, the words stand thus: "For the grace of God, that which saves, hath shone forth upon all men," or as it is expressed in the margin of our Authorized Version, "the grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men, hath appeared." As God's grace signifies God's favor, any benefit received from Him may be termed God's grace. And you find that backed up through the Scriptures If you start looking through the scriptures, you will find that His grace is His favor. His grace, look up the word grace and you'll find the first word in Strong's is graciousness. That's God's favor to us, folks. It's His divine will to us. And so this morning, I just have a little, probably a short message, but I want to give you something that has the power to be the most powerful and blessed force in all of our lives this morning. And that is that the grace of God, the favor of God, has shined down upon all the earth and upon all of us here. And if we'll let it shine on us, folks, it'll transform us. It has the power to save a man from sin. It has the power to heal a man. It has the power to cause people to dwell together in peace. Not that we're never going to have to work some things out. Folks, we can work things out. The saints of God has the light, the grace, the peace of God that, folks, we're going to have peace together, aren't we? And we're going to have love one for another. Deep love. That's what the sun has risen to bring. Oh, this morning, you look over here in Malachi 4 and 2. Some of the last words that were written from the prophets before Jesus came. And it says here, but unto you that fear my name. Now listen, this isn't for everybody. This is to those that fear the Lord. It's for everybody that will fear the Lord. But we've got to fear the Lord to get this kind of blessing. And it says here, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Do you know what that means? That means fat and flourishing. Ready for the day. That's what the Lord has given to us this morning. And so I want to encourage us today. Folks, the sun comes up every morning and it makes its appearance to men. I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ has come up and it appears to men. And if we don't go in our hole somewhere, we'll see it. And we'll enjoy it. And it'll make us to have our very bodies absorb vitamin D from it, doesn't it? The plants, they derive all their growth and all their everything they have that makes it happen. It comes from the sun, doesn't it? And it's able then to use the strength of the water and the vitamins and all those things that come up into it. Folks, the Lord makes His sun to rise on the good, to rise on the evil and on the good, He said, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord sends it out to all of us, folks. It's for us to fear the Lord and have access to it. How the Lord wants that and loves that. It says in His Word, God is love. Folks, the Lord wants to put that. He wants to shine His light that overcomes all darkness. All darkness. There is no darkness in light, is there? Because darkness flees away. Have you ever seen darkness and light walk together? No. Where there's light, it dispels the darkness. This morning. And that's what Jesus came to bring. Jesus, the Lord God, will be our all-sufficient supplier this morning. Can we take that in? That He will be our all-sufficient supplier. All the needs of my life. All of them. Temporal, physical, spiritual, emotional. I want to tell you, the Lord has made a way for all those needs to be supplied. He has this morning, and He'll be our all in all. If we'll let Him this morning. I want to read over here in Revelation 22, and it talks about a river. He said, and He showed me a pure river of water of life. Now here it's kind of talking about grace almost, I think you could almost say the same way in different terms, different analogies, different metaphors. And He says, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruits every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You know, I just want to say this morning that there's a pure river of water of life that's flowing out from under the throne of God. And it's got everything we need in it this morning. We just need to get in the river. We just need to let the river get in us, don't we? And you drop on down to the 17th verse. I think this has something for us in our day. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride. Who's the bride, folks? That's the church, isn't it? They say, come. All of, we're saying, come. Come along. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to give that to us today. He wants to give to you and me. This is a metaphor. The water of life, he wants to give it freely. The things that, that we reckon water to be something that satisfies our body, doesn't it? We need the strength of it, don't we? Well, I want to tell you, the Lord wants to give the water of life that satisfies the spirit, that satisfies the soul, that makes us able to face life with strength. And all the things that can come, I want to tell you, you get tired, don't you? You just need another drink. And then you're refreshed, a little rest. I want to read a very common reading over in John, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 5. And this is pretty simple stuff here this morning, but it's so meaningful to our lives. Verse 5 says of John 4, then cometh he, talking about Jesus, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. How many centuries before was that? I didn't stop to count it up exactly, but it's getting up there close to 2,000 years before Christ. I mean, it's between, I think, 1,500, 1,700, and 2,000, isn't it? And we find here, it says, Jacob, now Jacob's well was there. Jacob dug this well. And I was reading a little about that well. You know, in Clark's time, the well was still there. Some of you have been over there. Is the well still there? Or at least what they believe was that well. After all those centuries, it was still there. He said it was about 3 meters across, about 9 feet across, and 35 feet deep. You know, why does the Lord give us these details like this? The Word of God is very interesting and descriptive, isn't it? And he says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria. About the 6th hour, so he'd been traveling a while. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now Jesus had sat down on that, at that place. He says he was wearied with his journey. You know, we get weary too, don't we? We get really weary. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. I wanted to ask you this morning, do you know the gift of God? This woman didn't. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know why he's not going to be thirsting? He's got a well of water inside him. And he keeps drinking of it. And it keeps going through him and to others. If you read on down, I'll keep reading here. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, no longer is it going to work to keep ordinances of all kinds of feasts and all those things and think that's going to justify you with God. But I'll tell you what will justify you with God. And that's when we humble our hearts and we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and we cry out to Him to heal our life. And I want to tell you something. I have seen the Lord heal lives. God will heal lives this morning. He will give water to drink that satisfies the soul. It satisfies the need that we have. And the Lord wants to do that this morning. Oh, I know I don't have probably much a long message at all. But I want to tell you something this morning. God wants to satisfy your soul. He wants to give you water to drink. Are we thirsty this morning? Are we thirsty? We get thirsty, don't we? This world will take it out of you. I want to tell you God's grace, His goodness, His goodwill wants to be in us a satisfying portion to satisfy the needs we have spiritually and in all things. We search in so many places. And I don't know why. I cannot hardly grasp it. Why will man spend a lifetime searching when God has given us the answers? Why will we search? Why will we thirst to death? Why will we die of thirst? Why will we suffer with thirst when the Lord has come to bring life and that more abundantly? And He's came to bring water that truly satisfies the soul this morning. I want to think about a few things that the grace of God does for us. And I just want to enumerate these. The grace of God has appeared unto all men. He's appeared to everyone, folks. He has. And He will. The goodwill of God. You know what the scripture we started with says? It says, teaching us. You know the grace of God will teach us? It'll teach us to get away from the things that consume our lives. It'll teach us the ways of life. It says, for the grace of God that we've already read a number of times, that brings salvation, brings deliverance, hath appeared to all men, teaching us, it teaches us that the opposite of what the world teaches us. See, the world teaches us, go as far as you can go. Just get yourself into everything you can. Try anything you want to try. If you like it, do it. You know what the Lord teaches us? You know what the grace of God teaches us? That denying ungodliness, we cut it off. Denying, cutting it off, not letting it have life. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Those things that probably a lot of them in their real state are good. But the devil twists them, doesn't he? Takes the things that are designed to bless us. And he makes them evil. And he turns it. And he makes it something that not only doesn't satisfy, it destroys us. You know, that's what the grace of God teaches us, those things. So we don't have to learn them on our own. And it says, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Have a good mind. Righteously and godly in this present world. That's not something the world tells us, is it? In fact, even the religious world, most of it will say you can't really live righteous in this world. You can try hard. Folks, we're not talking about just trying hard. We're talking about the grace of God. We're talking about getting a real experience with the Lord and drawing close to Him and praying our way through those things that would corrupt us. Because they will. Life will corrupt us. Things will come to us that will corrupt us if we don't pray our way through them. And so how do we do that? We get a hold of the grace of God. Because it's there for us. It's shining upon all men. We pray our way through as Jesus. He had to do the same thing. He came up to the cross. Do you think He wanted to go to the cross in the flesh? He said, you know, Father, If it be thy will, let this pass from me. You know, He saw that cross too. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so His human flesh, His will in the flesh was one thing. His obedience to the will of God was another. Now, you know, this morning we have to crucify what our flesh would do. And bring it into subjection. The scriptures tell us to bring every thought into subjection to the will of God. And so we do that, don't we? Oh, this morning, I just want to encourage us that the grace of God has appeared. The provision of God. You know that He provides for us. And yet we will take it upon ourselves to try to make everything in this life line up for what we need it to be for our future. We'll spend, in fact, the scriptures tell us, isn't that what all the world does? They spend their whole life trying to set up. And the Lord tells us, you seek me first. And then He doesn't tell us not to work. He just says, seek me first. And then I'll just add all these things to you. Did you know that He'll be our provision if we'll let Him? And He'll provide for us. And when He provides for us, there isn't any downside. It provides spiritually. It provides physically. It provides emotionally. All those things is what God does this morning. But I want to tell you, it comes from the grace of God. It comes from us calling out to the Lord and not trying to stop. Be still, meditate, look within, deep within, find an answer down in there. That's not where it's at, folks. It's from the grace of God. Do you know the strength of God is in the grace of God? The strength we need in life? You know, the Lord proved a little bit of His strength in Samson, didn't He? That was physical. Do you know if we need strength, God will give us strength? If there has to be a mountain moved, God can move it. He can and will if we will trust in Him. You know, the mercy of God is in the grace of God. I don't know about you, but folks, we didn't deserve God's goodness like he's given us, did we? Anybody here attain to some, I deserved it? Folks, I remember when I needed a lot of help. I needed the Lord to save me. I needed him to do something in my life. You know, this morning, God will give us that. His mercy. The grace of God will give us his power. When we don't have the power to do what we need. And I just want to tell you right now, you don't have the power to do what you need unless God gives it to you. So we better listen up to that. The grace of God hath appeared. It has come forth. It has shined forth upon all men. And it teaches us some things, folks. The power, the goodness of God is in the grace of God. I expect God's goodness. I do. Now, do I expect everything to go my way? No, I don't. I don't. I may be beaten and killed and all. I don't know. I know that when that time gets here, I trust that the grace of God will be there because I don't have it in myself. But the grace of God has it, and I know that. But I believe this. He'll put something down in our souls at that time. I just remember a few times in my life when things got very... quite a number of years ago, I can't even remember the situation. I just remember how the situation was so strong. It was so... I just needed help. But you know what else I remember? You know what I remember? I do remember this for sure. I remember the deep peace of God that was abiding within. And that's what I really remember because I don't remember what the situation was. I just know it was really extreme. But I remember the deep peace of God. Folks, we have to get that. We have to humble ourselves and go and find those things from the Lord. And he has a river. Sometimes I love to just stop and just call out to God. Lord, I need your help today. I just need you. I just need you. I need you to talk to me. I need you to give me the grace of God. I want to be a clean, honest, humble man of God. And I need you to help me to be that way. I need you to give me your thoughts so that I don't go astray. I need you to give me your thoughts so that I don't work in myself. You know that, Lord, I just need your presence. I need you to help me. I've been struggling too much with all the cares of life. I need you to come and give me some strength. You know what? I count that as some of the most valuable times there is. Sometimes even more valuable than studying and getting things from the Lord and all of that. Sometimes I just count that so valuable. Lord, I just need you. And I'm crying out to you. Maybe go for a walk. Look up at the sky. You see the stars up there? You know God's there. Folks, cry out to the Lord. Lord, fill my heart and mind. Give me your thoughts and your ways. I fear that too many times we decide we get saved, and we really do. And then we start trying to live right, and we should. But we forget that, folks, what this is really about is God wants to interact with us in a wonderful way. And we forget to take those times where we're not telling him all our needs or telling him anything. We're just saying, Lord, I need you to draw me up close to you. I need to know that you love me here again. Is that all right? The goodness and benevolence of God. Oh, it is so true. His direction for our life is in the grace of God this morning. His plan for our life. Did you know that God has plans for you and me? He does. He has plans. He said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Something like that. Do you know this morning, the Lord has thoughts about us. And he has plans for us. And he has a calling. And he has work for us to do. And he wants to communicate his will to us. And he wants it to work for us. The purposes of God. They're in the grace of God, folks. It's just simple stuff. I know this is really basic this morning. But I want to tell you the grace of God has appeared. And he wants to give you and me some beautiful things this morning. The purposes of God, they're revealed to us. You think about Daniel and go back and look at his life a little bit. You know, when he got those visions and dreams, he said he had been out by the river. And how many days had he fasted? Quite a while. And you know what? He began to seek God. Lord, I know that you said that the time is near. I know that was a special time in his life. But I have a pretty good idea that that wasn't new to Daniel to go and be alone with God. I have an idea that Daniel knew what it was to go out by the river and start calling on the God of heaven and looking up to heaven, Lord, mercy on this man. Lord, give me your thoughts. Lord, you see I'm in the king's palace. I have to make decisions all the time. And I need your thoughts. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. And don't you know, Daniel, then when the king brought him in and he just let the king know right up front, King, it's not in a man, but the God of heaven reveals secrets. He knew where it came from. I don't think Daniel had to struggle a whole lot to try to take the glory. He knew where it came from. It came from those times with God that God began to work in his life. And I just want to encourage us today to remember those dear things. The grace of God hath appeared. It's lighted our world. The value of God, the love of God. Don't we need that renewed in us sometimes? Sure we do. And he'll do that. We're told in John the first chapter, in the 14th verse. Don't you love the descriptive language of the first chapter of John? It's amazing. It starts out with beautiful language. And in the 14th verse it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." John, he later said, we held Him and we handled Him. We knew this one, this life. It wasn't a fable. We knew this. We handled the Word of life. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Did you know the Lord is full of grace? And He's appeared to man to share that with us this morning. Oh, one more little set of scriptures, probably the end here. John 7. John just got a wonderful hold on the goodness and grace of God. I love his writings. John 7 and 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." All this morning, Jesus wants to give to us the greatest gift of all, and that is God Himself through the Holy Spirit living inside. Do you know that the Lord wants to give that? And so, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But it goes on to say, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee?'" You know, the prophets say he's going to come out of Galilee. "Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" That's where he came from, wasn't it? But they didn't realize that. And people today say all kinds of things. But I'll tell you what, some believed and some accepted. And to those he gave life to. And to you and me, he'll give life to. I want to encourage us this morning. Folks, there's more in the grace of God than maybe sometimes we give him credit for. We try in our strength and our own strength and we fail. We try to reach and we can't make it. And then after a while, people will say it can't be done. You can't live without sinning day by day. I want to tell you something this morning. The grace of God has appeared to all men, and it teaches us that in this world that we can live righteously and godly and holy. And the Lord wants to give that to each one of us this morning. Oh, let us seek Him out. Let us find Him. Do you think that we can't find the Lord? Do you think He doesn't want to be found after all the price that He paid? Oh, He longs to be found of every one of us this morning. Let's look for Him. Let's search for Him. Let's get some help if we have to. And call upon God together. I have seen that break the chains. I've seen that break the powers. And I've seen things happen. And many times it's through an agreement of prayer. I saw a young man one time seeking the Lord. And he was wanting, he had been cleaned. His life had been saved. He wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just couldn't get through. And I tell you, you got to get one more. They got three of us there. And I want to tell you something. The Lord gloriously poured out His Spirit that time. You know, this morning, God wants to do those things for us. But we have to say in our heart, it is the grace of God that gives me this. It is not how hard I try. God has this for me, and I shall have it because I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. You pray for me because I want to go to heaven too.